Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. We talk about what's cooking in Central Iowa. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I am Donna Prisgintas.
Good time to think about warm things, about inside things. And speaking of warm things, we are still in fundraiser mode here. You can become a member of this station, KHOI 89.1. You can become a member of this station. This is a community radio station.
And I must say, we're feeling well received and supported by our community. This is our first, I think, really major chance to get some feedback. Lana and I often talk about, is anybody even listening? We have no way of knowing.
Every now and then I get a call from my sister-in-law in Little Rock, Arkansas, and she listens, by golly, on the internet. But I hope there's people out here that also appreciate the
show.
Well,
and now we're getting that financial support, that congratulatory thank you, gratitude, recognition that goes around our community. So it's feeling pretty good.
Members, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for supporting your community radio station. And the membership drive is still going on, so if you haven't, please do. That number is 292-2878. Operators are standing by.
Did we mention the carrot cake?
Oh, ongoing. As part of the membership drive, Donna Prisgintas, this wonderful woman on this program, is offering a fancy carrot cake, a carrot cake made when you want it delivered to your home.
That is between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Deal directly with Donna for that. But you can call 292-2878. Make a pledge. Make a pledge for your membership. And then you can
bid on the carrot cake.
That is a homemade carrot
locally,
cake.
Locally, local carrots, local flour, local eggs, organic.
Local love put into that. The price or the bid on the carrot cake currently stands at $75. So the carrot cake bidding will end today. We have time on the show now to do it, all day today and through our show tonight. But we'll decide today who gets that carrot cake.
And so, we are boasting that it will be the best carrot cake, certainly in Ames, maybe in Story County, even in the state of Iowa, and as good as it gets.
Yes. So become a member if you have not already. 292-2878. That's KHOI Radio. Or go to the website, khoifm.org, and push the handy-dandy Donate Now button. The Donalana Kitchen talks about food and farming and recipes. We deal with advice and opinions. And we deal with things that happen right in our own backyard. Lots of things have been going on. We've just survived. We've survived with style. An election come and gone. And here we go again. Right in our backyard, here comes the oil pipeline. My goodness.
Yes, we have our very own proposed oil pipeline.
And here today,
coming at you, folks.
Yes, here today in the studio, someone to talk about the pipeline with us.
So we can be well-informed citizens, understand the details.
Angie Carter. Angie Carter is a resident of Ames. Angie Carter is a PhD candidate studying sociology and sustainable agriculture at Iowa State University and a board member of the Women, Food, and Agriculture Network, a nationwide organization based in the Midwest.
And her parents live right in our neighborhood.
Very good. Yes. And she's also involved with the Iowa State Sustainable Ag Student Organization and ICCI. And she's got something
ICCI,
to say.
Lana?
I don't know. I just wrote down ICCI.
Iowa
Citizens for Community Improvement.
There we go.
Welcome to the Donna Lana Kitchen, Angie.
Thanks so much, Donna and Lana. I'm so glad to be here today to talk some more about the Bakken Oil Pipeline with you.
This issue seems to, maybe everyone was just tuned into all the election ads, but this situation, this oil pipeline just sort of dropped into our lap, it seems, very quickly.
It's even making national news.
Yes, I first learned about it in July, last summer, July 2015, when it was in the Des Moines Register. But I think with all the other discussion of other topics during the election, people just were not talking about this. It was off the table. But now that the elections are over, our candidates, our leaders, hopefully can take this on and start listening to their constituents' concerns again about this pipeline.
And what are the concerns about the pipeline?
Sure.
What we got here?
There are many concerns about the pipeline. The first that comes to mind is the environmental concerns to our state. So we know already in Iowa that we have had some water quality problems the past year, that our water quality has been impaired. The Des Moines Water Works has gone to great efforts to clean up the water to make it drinkable for their residents in Des Moines. And this is another project that could impair our water even further. It would cross all of our major watersheds in Iowa. It will be going from the northwest corner of Iowa all the way across 18 counties down to the southeast corner.
Like a complete diagonal.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. I saw that originally. I guess when I first found out about this proposed pipeline, I saw a map in the Des Moines Register, and it's there it was. And the first thing you do is you say, oh, well, it's a couple miles away from my house. Maybe I shouldn't worry. But from all I've heard of what's going on with the Bakken oil pipeline and the fracking of things all over the country, it sounds like a lot of people are being impacted by this sort of mining. And even if my house happens to be a few miles away, It may have more of an impact than we think. There's some scary stuff out there.
What does a spill mean? What does a leak mean? It's all be underground, so we can't see what it's doing.
That's right. Last fall, actually, there was a farmer in South Dakota who did not even know that the pipeline had leaked through his field until he was out harvesting, and he saw the oil coming up through the soil. And so this is something that would be really hard to monitor. Think of all those acres of farmland that this pipeline will be crossing. And once it leaks, it's too late. That crude oil is spilling out into our soil and into our waterways. And it will create a disaster that will take a long time to clean up. And there have been many stories in the news lately about oil spills in Wisconsin, in North Dakota, related to these Bakken oil pipelines. In Michigan, and it's just a tremendous tragedy for the communities that live around it. It's also a tremendous tragedy for the communities in the Bakken oil region. We know that the Fort Berthold Reservation in North Dakota is being severely impacted by this extraction of this oil. And so this is a way that Iowans can stand up and actually be good neighbors to those North Dakotans and to those communities that are impacted and say that even though this pipeline may only be a few miles from my house or it's not on my property, I'm worried about what this means for other communities in the Midwest. We know that with climate change, extracting oil is a very short-sighted solution.
Apparently, we only have about 7 years left in the Bakken Reserve, so this pipeline would be useful for 7 years. Then what happens to it afterwards?
The company will leave.
Well, and what are they going to do with the pipeline? Just leave it in the ground?
That's information that they haven't shared yet. I'm hoping that at these meetings that they have scheduled this December, there will be a meeting in Story County in Nevada on December 15th at 1 p.m. at the Gates Memorial Auditorium, that people will be asking and finding out more information about these questions. The oil company, you know, they're not concerned about long-term benefit to Iowans. They're concerned about getting their product out of the oil region and getting it to be refined for export. So we're obviously very concerned about the environmental concerns and the social justice concerns for our neighbors.
We're talking about this as if this is a sure thing. The oil company will do this. Just because a map is printed in the Des Moines Register, does that make it true?
Well, that's a great question. So right now, the pipeline has been proposed. It has not been approved. The approval process will take place. It'll start this December with these meetings that I mentioned. The meetings are the first step in the approval process. So it'll be really important for people who are concerned about the pipeline to show up to these meetings if they can.
And what effect does the citizen voice have anyway?
Well, we have a lot of political influence and pressure. So we know that the Iowa Utilities Board and the Iowa DNR will give the final approvals that this project would need to go into effect. Mm-hmm. Members of the Iowa Utilities Board are appointed by our governor, and there are three of them, one whose term ends this spring. So we could really try to campaign that our state's leaders stop any approval that the governor might appoint who would be in favor of this pipeline. We can push really hard to try to get somebody on the Iowa Utilities Board who understands what an ecological and socially unjust ecological disaster and social injustice consequences would be associated with this project. So we have opportunities to put some pressure on our state's leaders to stop this.
Can we get really kind of graphic and talk about what a leaking pipeline, you know, okay, so it's, say it leaks 2 miles from Lana's house. So what's a leak? A quart? 500 gallons. I mean, what are we talking about here? And then what happens to it?
Yeah. And also, I've heard it said this way. It's not if it leaks, it's when it leaks. These are man-made things. And things, there's entropy going on here. Things mm-hmm. break. Mm-hmm. So what happens if it leaks? What goes on?
Well, what's it look like?
The pipeline will be 1,134 miles long, 30 inches in diameter, and about 24 to 48 inches underground, depending on the topography of where it's located. It will transport 320,000 barrels of crude oil from the Bakken region daily.
That's an amazing number.
That is a lot of oil. And as you know, living in Iowa, our farmland is very heavily tiled. There are tiles underground that are working to remove water from the soil so that farmers can be more productive in their fields. And this is something that farmers have been doing for generations on farmland. We don't have maps that show us where all the tile lines are. There's no such thing that exists. Farmers just put them in where they're needed, and then the farmland transfers, and the next person does the same thing.
And more are being put in. So let's go out and put in some more tile line. Oops, we hit the oil pipeline. Oops.
Well, this is something that's a big concern, I think, for a lot of farmers and for people who understand how water moves on the landscape, too, because we can't say, you know, exactly where water is moving because we don't know how all these tile lines are connected and how they work together.
So if there's a leak and it hits the water movement, goes into the tiling, it could move very quickly because we're quite a wet place.
Correct. And so the pipeline project, if it is approved, would purchase land from farmers or seize land from farmers, landowners, through eminent domain. And they would be trying to acquire land that would give the pipeline some buffer on either side. But it's really hard to say how much buffer that pipeline needs because, as you know, we've been having more and more 100-year and 500-year floods in our state. With climate change, we have more extreme storms, extreme weather, and it's just really hard to say what's going to happen, you know, maybe even in 5 years.
So also, as I mentioned way at the beginning of our show, it got real cold all of a sudden. And frost goes down and does interesting things to the soil every now and then. So that's also something to think about. I hope they're planning to deal with that.
How deep are they going to bury this pipeline?
Well, it would only be 24 to 48 inches underground. That's not very deep.
That's not even below the frost line, is it, Lana?
Not in a real cold, cold sort of winter. So anyway,
but
I am not an engineer. I am a farmer. I have farmer concerns. Mm-hmm. I am concerned about mentioning oil or whatever is flowing through this pipeline getting into water systems,
our water
aquifers, the water we drink, the water that we water our crops with, use it for industry. We already are rather challenged with things that we let happen to our water. This seems like a major dump of rather nasty bits.
I think that's a very good point. I mean, all of these details might seem a lot to remember, but the main point is that this is an oil pipeline. Is this the direction that we want to go in thinking about our state? We know that wind and solar have been great investments for our state. And this oil pipeline would only benefit the oil company that's building it. It doesn't have any benefit for Iowans. It only has risks for us. So it makes every bit of common sense to say that this isn't something we need to have in our state. We've seen in the – there's been a lot of talk in the press, the national press, about the Keystone Pipeline. And we've seen that some of the companies that have had leases on those tar sands in Canada have backed out of their leases or not renewed their leases because they're worried they won't be able to extract there in the future because of all the political and social pressure around that project. And so it's really possible that if we can organize ourselves and be good neighbors to our friends in North Dakota and say we don't want this pipeline in our state, that we can have a positive impact and try to slow down or stop the extraction of oil in those oil fields.
You know, I have a friend who doesn't want to be quoted on this publicly, but she is working in some ISU projects making biofuels not out of corn. And she says actually that if the subsidies to big oil were stopped this very day, that we could make biofuels cheaper than oil. So why would we want to invest in something that's in the long run going to, A, not be profitable, B, not necessarily beneficial? We got a lot of other options, especially in Iowa, you know,
yeah,
with
so
our
many.
Wind and our biofuels, especially the ones that are not necessarily corn, are turning out to be perhaps very interesting. We can invest in those instead of supporting. Plus, the jobs issue. Did you say that the so who's supporting this pipeline?
Well, the oil company, obviously, that has proposed it, Dakota Access LLC, which is a subsidiary of Energy Transfer Partners based in Houston.
Energy Transfer Partners. Interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. And then recently, Phillips 66 has joined on to help finance the project.
Oops.
We're maybe not as familiar with oil disasters as our neighbors down to the south at the end of the Mississippi River.
Exactly.
But I think if we asked anybody that lived around New Orleans what they thought about oil companies, they'd be pretty upset. They haven't been – oil companies have never been good neighbors. They'll be trying to extract as much oil as possible, get it to their sites for processing and export. They don't care about our soil and water here in Iowa.
Seems like Iowa is a place to pass over, pass through, and not think too much about. Certainly the people whose land the pipeline is going through, they certainly have some redress. Can't they say that, no, you can't put a pipeline on my property?
Well, if enough neighbors get together and they say, no, we don't want this pipeline through here, maybe the oil company would just change their route. So there's not a lot of action that if we focus only on the landowner issues, the land rights issues.
I mean, they would change their route
through
Iowa.
They could just change their route to go around that pocket. And so we're trying really hard to build a coalition of landowners and also people who are concerned about the environment and about climate change and about social justice so that we can make this really a statewide pressure that we don't want this in our state.
I want to take time to remind people this is KHOI Radio, Heart of Iowa Radio.
There's a green and rolling hillside that I knew when I was a child. I am going to that hillside. I'm a sit now for a while. I don't want no separation.
Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking to Angie Carter in the kitchen today about something that's happening right in our backyard, the oil pipeline that has been
proposed,
but it seems it is talked about as if it's a done deal. But remember, folks, it is just proposed. Angie, you were mentioning that already, even though this has happened, the existence of this pipeline and the forward movement of this pipeline has seemed to move pretty fast. There is a number of people, number of organizations that have stood up, have had rallies, have made speeches. Who are friends and neighbors that are concerned about this pipeline?
Yes, well, we're building a coalition of organizations, and we're looking for more help and more partners. So if people are interested in this, please contact me. My email's angielcarter@gmail.com. I'd be glad to help you connect with us. So the Iowa Sierra Club, Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement, Food and Water Watch, Women Food and Agriculture Network, and then the Iowa State University Sustainable Ag Student Association have all signed on to a letter that we delivered to the governor along with 2,300 petition signatures last month opposing this pipeline project. So there's definitely a lot of momentum starting in our state among landowners, among people who are concerned about climate justice. The Women Food and Ag Network is really concerned about the impact of this project to indigenous communities in North Dakota. And it's really troubling to hear the stories about human trafficking that's happening in those communities and the impact upon women there because of this project. Mm-hmm.
Just because of the boomtown mentality,
yes.
All of a sudden people get money poisoned. It's a mental sort of thing. Yeah, I've read about that too. That sounds pretty awful.
I read an interesting thing that in the Bakken area, the jobs available for women are waitressing, prostitution, and house cleaning.
Well, and we've also know that North Dakota, since these boom towns have started, has become the state that has the highest rate of worker mortality because the jobs that are there for the oil workers are so dangerous. And so we've seen how this has exploited the area in North Dakota. We've seen how oil companies have exploited Louisiana post-oil spill down there. Mm-hmm. This is just not something that Iowans want in our state. We don't want our state to be exploited in this way. And so we have this coalition of folks who are coming together. We're having our first strategy meeting this week to plan together how we're going to approach these meetings this winter. So beginning in December, there will be meetings that the Iowa Utilities Board is required by law to host so that energy transfer partners can share information about the project and the public can ask questions.
Listen up, folks. This is where you can
get your
show
pencils
up.
Out.
You can show up and learn about this and speak. Go ahead, Angie.
So there'll be a meeting on December 15th in Story County at the Gates Memorial Auditorium in Nevada, Iowa, and it's at 1 p.m. on December 15th. There'll be a second meeting that same day at 6 p.m., December 15th at 6 p.m. for Boone County residents at the community building at the fairgrounds. Polk County meetings are on December 4th at 3 p.m. So if folks want to go to they can go to our Facebook page, Stop the Iowa Bakken Oil Pipeline, if they want more information. The meeting's information is posted there. But we're encouraging people to come to these meetings, to bring their questions. This is just the start of
now,
our resistance.
Where is that
to
auditorium?
This.
Is that in the courthouse? Where is it?
Yes, it's at the
in
courthouse.
The courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Story County
courthouse in Nevada, okay. December 15th. What was the time of
at 1 p.m.
Oh, yes. Everyone should just, like, get off of their jobs and show up. This is not a thoughtful, convenient time.
No, they had originally wanted to schedule these meetings earlier, but they said that they delayed them until December so that farmers would be done with harvest. But we know that mid-December is a pretty busy time for a lot of folks. You're getting ready for holidays, the end of the semester, and these sorts of things. But we really want to get a lot of people out there. This will be the start. People should also write, if they're concerned about this, they should also write to their local representatives and senators and let them know why they're concerned and why we don't think this is a good idea for Iowa, because they need to hear from us so that they can carry that forward.
Has our newly reelected governor made any pronouncements on this?
He hasn't said anything either way on this, though the LS2 group that's handling public relations for the project.
What's LS2?
It's a public relations firm in Des Moines, and they have some ties to Governor Brand's dad. We had heard that he had met with Energy Transfer Partners earlier this summer about this project. He hasn't yet met with any of the concerned landowners. Some of the concerned landowners came with us to deliver those petitions to his office and requested a meeting with him, but he hasn't yet met with them. But we're encouraged because he hasn't come out in support of it yet. Hopefully, he'll realize that our agricultural economy requires clean water and clean soil to continue. People are really concerned about this interrupting the investment they've put into their tile lines and their fields. So we're hopeful that he'll come out and say this isn't a good idea. But in the meantime, we all need to be telling him that and why.
Although this problem, it needs to be addressed, people need to talk to the powers that be and get some major changes and some major new ways of thinking happening here. This is happening in our backyard, but unfortunately, if our victory is that it moves out of our backyard, it just means it moves into somebody else's. This is going to require rethinking how we think about energy. And so we can do what we can right now, but talk to your friends and neighbors. Talk around your kitchen table as to what the future is going to be.
That's a very important point. We've been very clear in all of our communication that we don't want this pipeline in Iowa, but we don't want any more pipelines anywhere. We know that climate change is happening, that extraction of oil in this extreme energy economy is really harming a lot of people in a lot of places, and it's not okay to use different people's lands as a sacrifice
zone. And there are alternatives. If we invest in alternative fuels, alternative energies, we can do this. It's quite doable.
We have the technology now. We've already started doing a lot of great investment in solar and wind in Iowa. We could increase that. That would create jobs in Iowa that people would actually want to have.
Right. We have one of the old Maytag factory is a factory that now makes wind generators. That's real employment in Iowa.
Yes, and you don't have to worry about a wind generator spilling crude oil, costing millions of taxpayer dollars to clean up and taking decades to clean up. You don't have to worry about that with wind and solar.
This is an important thing. Money is talking in a really big way, like somehow it seemed to be in the past election, too. Money is talking in a really big way, but we can respond. We still have our voices. We're citizens. We're neighbors. Let's get to it. Thank you for bringing up all the information, especially the times of
the meetings.
That is a start.
Call your Iowa congresspeople. This oftentimes we get involved in like issues of national importance, and really we're kind of ineffective with those things. This is something we can do something about.
Yes, it's our opportunity to be good neighbors here in Iowa to oppose this project
and involve citizens.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for having me here to talk about this. I know Story County is one of the counties that will be impacted, but it's going through 17 other counties, so it is a statewide concern. And like I said, it's going from the northwest corner of the state to the southeast corner, so it's crossing all of our watersheds.
Yes, remember, folks, we all are in this together.
It's getting, it's to pipe it, to put it on barges and take down the Mississippi? Is that what?
So it will be going into Illinois. And then it will be transported either to the East Coast or the Gulf Coast to be processed.
How does it get across the river?
That will be by train, probably.
Mm-hmm. So they take it from the pipeline, put it into a train, and take it across the river? That sounds crazy.
So it'll go to Patoka, Illinois, and then it'll go by train to East Coast or to the Gulf Coast and be refined for export.
What is the point of having a pipeline if you're going to put it on a train anyway?
Oh, don't worry. Somebody will make some money off of it. That'll be a good idea for somebody. It will be.
It sounds so silly, I have to say. And it's so dangerous, but it really sounds like it just doesn't make sense.
Oh, good.
So for those of you who are on Twitter or Facebook, we have created a Twitter handle that you can go to, and it is Stop Bakken. So on Twitter, you can find updates there. And then on Facebook, there's the No Iowa Bakken Oil Pipeline page. And you don't have to be on Facebook. You can just Google it. You'll find it. You'll pull it up. But we've been posting all sorts of articles and different information there for people to find out more, especially information from our allies in other states, so that they can share with us stories how they've been impacted by Energy Transfer Partners' other pipeline projects. So there's
Website again.
Sure. It's Stop the Iowa Bakken Oil Pipeline, and Bakken is spelled B-A-K-K-E-N. So if you'll Google that, you'll find our Facebook page. Energy Transfer Partners has built pipelines in other areas in the Midwest, and there are stories about them leaking. There are stories about how they're bad neighbors, and I don't know why they would be any different here in Iowa. And so we've been trying to network with our allies in other states, too, to put pressure on this company.
Well, good.
What's that, the handle? No Iowa Bakken?
Yes. Yes.
No I-A-B-A-K-K-E-N.
Yes.
Hashtag No Iowa Bakken.
Good. Well, thank you for coming and telling us all about this today, Angie. We hope we all have something not only just to think about, but to talk about and to act on. Thank you for sharing what you know.
Thank you for having me here today.
I'd like to remind everyone, this is KHOI. Community Radio for the Heart of Iowa. And we are still in membership mode here, folks. We're looking for your memberships. Does information happen on this station that you can use every day? There are a lot of local things happening. We are the voice for this community. If you want to support this radio station, call 292-2878 and make a pledge. We're asking for your membership. Basic membership is $40. And if you do that, there are other membership levels too. But if you do just a basic membership, you can bid on the carrot cake. The Donna Lana Kitchen
carrot cake.
Donna, tell us a little bit about that carrot cake and why people should bid. Now, this is the last day to bid on the carrot cake.
Yes. Well, the carrot cake will be made on a day of your choice after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. You can just call me and we'll make it up. We'll deliver it. You can even have the recipe if you want. I will be using Iowa organic flour, Iowa organic carrots, Iowa organic eggs, Iowa organic butter. And I have a fantastic recipe that you're just going to love.
Good. So bid on that carrot cake. Join KHOI, become a member, bid on that carrot cake, and find out about other premiums, too. Support this radio station. That's 292-2878. Support KHOI. Thinking a little bit more about food, last week we talked a bit about potatoes. We had some different potato recipes, and this is also the season of harvest potlucks sort of thing. So I went to a potluck this weekend, and I made kolkanen, which is an Irish version of potatoes. Let's talk about that a little bit. People think of a kolkanen long around St. Patrick's Day. It's green, usually, mashed potatoes sort of, with kohl crops in it, mashed potatoes with either cabbage or kale or something in it. But this time of year, we have much stuff coming out of our garden, potatoes and kale. So that was a good time, too. You don't have to wait for St. Patrick's Day to
What's
do this.
What's in your kolkanen? Oh, does it have garlic?
Oh, of course it has garlic.
Of course.
And kolkanen usually starts out with mashed potatoes, but like you talked about last time, I just sort of did a smashed potatoes. This had the peels on. This had chunks. I started out with a kind of potato that I really like growing. We've grown it for quite a few years. It's called a Kerala potatoes. It's a gold flesh sort of thing.
Oh, they're so good.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, that was the potatoes. To that, in a separate pan, I sauteed onions and collards. I had a bunch of collards left over. And then let that cool off a little bit while the potatoes were cooking. And then my husband Joe is a great maker of pesto, and he had made a wonderful batch of garlic kale pesto. Just smash it all up in the food processor. Mm. Garlic. And I do love it when he cooks, but I think it was a little heavy on the garlic as far as pesto is concerned. But that mixed with the previous ingredients, the garlic, the kale pesto, mixed with the onions, collards, and the potatoes went really good. So we had an Onion Creek Colcannon. It was very good. That's a nice potato idea for this time of year. Over the weekend, you took a field trip, didn't you, Donna?
I did. I went to the...
You got a bid for $100.
Oh, hallelujah, we got a $100 carrot cake. Yes! Oh, oh boy. And great. It'll be worth every bite of it, I'll tell you. $100 on the carrot cake. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Worth every crumb. Thank you, thank you. We appreciate your support.
So I went to the... Women's Congress for the Rights of Future Generations, which was convened by Carolyn Raffensperger, one of our local women who has been a very active environmental lawyer and worked on issues for a long time like this. So what they were doing was it was a process to actually draft the beginnings of a legal document that could be adopted at state level, certainly at the federal level. It's will be put in front of the UN about, you know, do our children and grandchildren deserve to have an intact environment? Like we're talking about this pipeline. If the pipeline is built in Iowa, if it ruptures, that's going to take multi-generations before those things are taken out of the soil and it's remediated. What are we doing here? The rights of future generations is a legal concept that would mean that we had to consider long-term effects of some of these actions that we're taking in the present. So the conference was really, really a delight. We had marvelous speakers. Now, some of the speakers were Sandra Steingraber, who is an environmental writer and botanist, a biologist, talks about the effects of all kinds of things in the environment and chronicles her own personal cancer history. Another one was Rayanne Eisler, who was the original writer of The Chalice and the Blade, which is about kind of partnership between the genders as opposed to the dominator society. Her new book is called The Caring Economy. And then a third person who is there is Mary Piper, who is a psychologist from Nebraska who originally wrote of Reviving Ophelia, which was about the psychological pressures of young girls in this sort of overly sexualized culture. So these three women talked a lot about women's voices in creating a future in dealing with the environmental issues. And we have some recorded interviews, which will be only available on Iowa, on this radio station and other community radio stations around the country. And we are thinking about sort of presenting this as the Donna Lana Kitchen's New Year's gift to our listeners and our community. So we will be airing some of those conversations and interviews about things that thoughtfully contribute to what our future can look like. It was a marvelous conference, and we will have Carolyn Raffensperger on air talking about this work. It was very inspiring.
This is KHOI Radio. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Support this station. We appreciate your support. 292-2878.
A cabin made of wood. Her father was a preacher and her mother was a teacher, but she was just no good. Oh, she was just no good. Thank you.
We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Today in our studio, we've got Angie Carter. She's got a few words to say about the Women Food and Agriculture Network.
Thank you, Lana. Yes, I'm a board member of the Women Food and Ag Network, and we are a national organization, a nonprofit that's based largely here in the Midwest, and we are having our annual conference this weekend in Fairfield, Iowa. It will be a great time to get together with other women who are passionate about food, about agriculture, about creating a more sustainable and just community. And we'll be talking about how we can engage in leadership in our own communities to create grassroots changes. The theme is Women Doing Democracy, Building Grassroots Coalitions to Grow Healthy Food and Farming in Your Community. We'll be meeting.
Like a good idea to me.
Yes, yeah. And we normally have, I think the, right now there are over 150 people registered. And they're from all across Iowa and the Midwest, all sorts of experiences. But we'll be welcoming Karen Washington from Black Urban Growers in New York City to talk about urban gardening. So that'll be of interest to some people, as well as hosting Diane Rosenberg of the Jefferson County Farmers and Neighbors to talk about relationships in raising livestock.
And I suppose there will be a discussion about the pipeline.
We will have information there about the pipeline. We'll be talking to our members there. Fairfield, Iowa is in one of the impacted counties.
Oh, my.
So we're hoping to engage some members there and maybe hear from different members if they've received these letters from the oil company about pipeline maybe going through their land.
Okay, so that is this coming weekend. Women Food and Ag Network Conference.
November 14th and 15th, so that's Friday. Friday afternoon, we'll have some awesome field tours. If you've never been to Francis Tickey's farm down near Fairfield,
Radiance
and you want to
Dairy,
see that,
yes.
This is the time to go. And then November 15th all day, we'll have different presentations and speakers, a great lunch with locally sourced food. You can find out more information about the conference and still register online at WFAN.org.
Thank you, Angie.
Thank you.
Thank you also to our listeners who have supported KHOI with your membership. It's good to know that our membership is growing, our listenership is growing, and thanks to all of you who bid on Donna's carrot cake. Keep those bids rolling in. The more money comes in, the better the carrot cake is going to taste.
And I guarantee the winner will not be disappointed.
We're about community here. This is a community radio station. We take your ideas and your energy, and it just gets better and better. I've got a little thing I want to read here, especially for a fundraising week. This is about membership. This is about being better together than we are apart. A old tale. It's called Stone Soup. I'm sure maybe you've read this in your
I read it to
past.
My children. I read it to my grandchildren.
Yes. So, Stone Soup. Very appropriate on the kitchen show here. We're talking about soup, warm weather. Stone Soup, this version is written by Marsha Brown. This is an old tale, and I got this book from the Ames Public Library, and this is the book with the drawings that I do remember. Yes, yes. Here is the tale, and it's about a community doing something for themselves that they didn't even know they were doing. Stone Soup. Three soldiers trudged down a road in a strange country. Oh, aren't soldiers always trudging? They were on their way home from the wars. Besides being tired, they were hungry. In fact, they had eaten nothing for 2 days. Look, said the soldiers, there's a village up ahead. Maybe we can find a good dinner tonight. On they marched. Maybe we'll find a bite to eat, they said. No harm in asking, they said. The villagers saw the soldiers coming. Oh, no, said the villagers. Here come three soldiers. Soldiers are always hungry, but we have little enough for ourselves. And they hurried to hide their food. They pushed sacks of barley under the hay in the lofts. They lowered buckets of milk down into the well. They spread quilts over the carrots. They hid their cabbages and potatoes under the beds. They hung their meat in the cellars. They hid all they had to eat. Then they waited. The soldiers came in to the village and knocked on the door and asked for food. The villagers said, oh, no, it's been a poor harvest. We have nothing, we have nothing, we have nothing to share.
It was a poor harvest. We must save all for seed. We have too many mouths to fill. There's no food here. Go away. They all had good reasons. One family had to use the grain for feed. Another had an old sick father to care for. All had too many mouths to fill. The villagers stood in the street and they sighed. They looked as hungry as they could. Then the three soldiers talked together. And one turned around and said, "Good people, good people." The peasants grew near. "We are three hungry soldiers in a strange land. We have asked you for food and you have no food. Well, then we'll just have to make stone soup." The peasants stared. Stone soup! That would be something to know about. Soldier said, "First, we'll need a large iron pot." The peasants brought the largest pot they could find. How else to cook enough? "That's none too large," said the soldiers, "but it will do. And now, water to fill it, and a fire to heat it." It took many buckets of water to fill the pot. A fire was built in the village square, and the pot was set to boil. "And now, if you please, three round, smooth stones." Those were easy to find. The peasants' eyes grew round as they watched the soldiers drop the stones into a pot. "Well, any soup needs a little salt and pepper," said the soldiers as they began to stir. Children ran to fetch the salt and pepper. "Stones like these generally make good soup, but, oh, if there were carrots, it would be much better." One woman said, "Well, I think I have a carrot or two." She ran off to her house and came back with her apron full of carrots. "A good stone soup should have some cabbage," said the soldiers as they sliced the carrots into the pot. "But no use asking for what you don't have." "Well," another woman said, "I think I could find a cabbage somewhere." Back she came with three cabbages from under the bed. "If only we had a bit of beef and a few potatoes, this soup would be good enough for a rich man's table." The peasants thought that over. They remembered their potatoes. They remembered the sides of beef. They ran to fetch them. A rich man's soup, and all from a few stones? It seemed like magic. "Ah," said the soldiers, "if we only had a little barley and a cup of milk, this soup would be fit for a king. Indeed, he asked for just such a soup when last we dined with us." The peasants looked at each other. The soldiers had entertained the king? Well, but no use for asking for what you don't have, the soldiers said. The peasants brought their barley. They brought their milk and added it to the soup. The peasants stared. At last the soup was ready. "All of you shall taste," said the soldiers, "but first a table must be set." Great tables were placed in the square. All around were lighted torches. Such a soup! How good it smelled, truly fit for a king. But the peasants asked, "Oh, would not such a soup require bread and a roast and cider?" Soon a banquet was spread and everyone sat down to eat. Never had there been such a feast. Never had the peasants tasted such a soup. And fancy, made from stones. They ate, they drank, and they ate and drank. And after that, they danced. They danced and sang far into the night. The next morning, the whole village gathered in the square to give him a send-off. "Many thanks for what you've taught us," the peasants said to the soldiers. "We shall never go hungry, now that we know how to make soup from stones." "Yes," said the soldiers, "now you can do it for yourself. It's all in the knowing how." And off they went down the road. Was stone soup, something to think about during a community fundraiser for a community radio station.
Community.
You can support KHOI. You can find out more about us on the website, khoifm.org. And you can go to the Donna Lana Kitchen page there, and there's past shows. You can, all the archives of the past shows will be on that website. You can find some recipes there. You can find a dandy picture of Donna and I on that website. And check out the whole rest of the KHOI website, too. There's a program schedule. And also, KHOI is streaming live. And you can go to the Listen Live part of that website and hear past shows. They're most all there. If you miss something, don't worry. It's there. We can get you. We can get it for you. That's good.
And you know what we're doing next week? We're having our Thanksgiving recipe shows, and we're going to do it a little in time for if you get an idea that you like, you'll be able to go out and include that in your Thanksgiving dinner. Lon and I are each giving our own version of an alternative pumpkin pie recipes, which we will post on the website in case you guys want to try this out.
Amaze your family and friends. Yes.
This will be good. A little twist on the traditional. So do tune in next week for the Thanksgiving show. And we are all very thankful this week that our pledge drive is going really well. And we're thankful that we have a community radio station. And all of us volunteers now realize that we now are participating with listeners. Thank you.
It's a wonderful thing to be part of something that only 2 years ago was just kind of a empty building that used to be a dry cleaner's. And now here we are, KHOI Community Radio. Come down and visit us. We are at 410 Douglas in downtown Ames, and the listening area is much, much bigger than that. The signal from this very microphone gets beamed all the way to a tower south of Story City and goes out in a great big circle, almost as far as Jefferson, almost as far as Des Moines, almost as far as Marshalltown. On a good day, if you hold your nose right, you'll be able to get our signal. But call and become a member. Yes.
And on the Internet, it goes out all over the world.
Yes.
Fancy that.
You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen with Donna Lana. With Lana Noctigal.
Donna Lana, we are now one person. It's true.
Lana Noctigal and
Donna Prisgintas.
Excellent engineering by Rick Morris. And our special guest today was Angie Carter. We had music by the wonderful band called the Spirit Family Reunion, a fine band I ran across at a house concert last year. Fine folks. Support this community radio station. Find out what's going on out there. Go to the oil pipeline meetings that are happening. Be kind to your neighbors. We're all in this together. Eat good food and enjoy life. No joy will you know till you're far away. But I spent many years just waiting to be free till I found the great emancipator. I'd leave all
side of life is leading me on. But I saw the light, now those shadows are gone. Don't worry about me, I'll find a way. I'll find a way, I'll find a way. Oh, no, no, don't worry about me, I'll find a way. I'll find a way, I'll find a way.
Don't